Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Shaare Tzion. You come to classes right before Rosh Hashanah, expect a Rosh Hashanah shmooze. You're not going to get one tonight. Sorry. If that's what you came for, you're not getting it. I've been thinking a lot this past summer, and in the days approaching Rosh Hashanah, about a statement I wrote, let's see the date here, in 1995. That's quite a while ago. Psh, wow. No, I have it written down here. It was July 26, 1995. I wrote this down. Praying is something everybody does, but that too few of us do it well. That statement I wrote. I saw that note. I took it out of my old notebook. And I've been looking at it intermittently along with all these other notes here since probably July or August. And as we approach a season of praying, I thought to look into the subject from different angles and see what comes out. And so tonight we're going to talk about tefillah, we're going to talk about prayer, because you'll all be doing a lot of it in the next few weeks. And maybe you don't know what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing, it's hard to be successful at it. It says, Karov Hashem l'kol kora'av, l'kol shekra'uhu be'emet. Hashem is close to all that call out to Him. So it's definitely good technique for getting close to Hashem. Many people feel tefillah is a way to get things. It's true. But it's more than a means to an end. It's an end in itself. It has power. When Yitzchak Avinu prayed for children, because his wife Rivka was barren and not giving birth, it says Vayi'ater. Very unusual word for prayer. It's not tefillah, it's not tachanun, it's not vaychal. It's the word that means a type of pitchfork which turns over the earth. It's a farming tool, and yet it's used for prayer. To tell us that when a person prays, they can turn the situation upside down, 180, from deen, strict justice, punishment, to rachamim, mercy, kindness from Hashem. In fact, that's an interesting point, it's not tonight's class. But like I said, in thinking about it, some people look at it that the fact that tefillah can change. We pray on Rosh Hashanah that Hashem should get off the Kiseh Din, His throne of strict justice, punishment, and go sit on the proverbial Kiseh Rahamim, seat of mercy. Now, that should not be considered altering the laws of nature. It's part of nature itself for prayer to influence, so to speak, Hashem, and to make the unnatural natural. But that's a separate class. Yaakov Avinu called it his weapon. Becharbiv Kashti, I took over the lands of the Amorites with my sword and my bow. And the Targum tells us that was his prayers. But I said that most of us don't do it well. It's worse than that. Most of us don't respect it enough. We're we're commanded to learn Torah. Everyone knows that. It's mitzvah, to learn, well, the men at least, to learn Torah. Women should learn the laws that apply to them. And we're commanded lehitpalel tefillah, to use our powers of beseeching and tachanun to approach Hashem in what's called prayer, tefillah. Rabbi Pinchasi Shelita, Shmuel Pinchasi, who just left yesterday back for Eretz Yisrael, he said, it's asur lanu lehitpalel Torah, ve'al lanu lelmod tefillah. We shouldn't pray Torah, and we shouldn't learn tefillah. It doesn't mean you shouldn't learn how to do it. But there's a difference between delving into something and learning it, studying it, and praying, which is a matter of avodah shebalev, the work of the heart. Even more interesting, and these are just highlights of everything that's not in the class tonight. We can make a whole series out of these little facts. Another fact is that there's a basic difference between the Yehudi and the rest of the world, because we have the power of tefillah. And that power of tefillah, no other nation has. So a cute mashal, just to help you understand that. There were a bunch of wild animals in a forest. And there was a donkey, a mule, that wanted to get to the other side. And he knew if he tried to get through, these hungry wild animals would chomp him up alive. So he got smart. He put on a lion skin with a lion head, costume. And he started walking through. And they were all parting the ways from him. He looked pretty ferocious. Respectable, to say the least. Until that hour of the night that the Gemara says, all donkeys bray, or whatever sound they make. And he let out one of his ha-ha-ha, whatever he makes as a sound. And they all looked and said, that's no lion, that's a dime. They jumped on him and ate him. The nimshal was, that although we can envision, or we can see pictures and videotapes of goyim in prayer, what they call prayer, and it does look like what the Yehudi does when he prays, it's not tefillah. Doesn't work the same. They don't have the koach of the peh, the call of Yaakov. They don't have that. They don't know it. But it's like that animal in the costume mimicking the behavior of something much more powerful and greater than itself. So although I have another few pages of little things about tefillah, that's your intro. Now, since it is close to Rosh Hashanah, and this is not a class about Rosh Hashanah, I'm telling you, it's not. But there is an aspect that Harambam brings up in his Hilchot Teshuvah, which might be good for next week's class. But we'll use it tonight. And he says, "Efshar sheyechete adam chet gadol." People make all kinds of sins. And it's possible to make a humongous sin. Biggie. It's a biggie. It's so big, or so many little ones that they stand on each other's shoulders and become a giant. He calls it chataim rabim. A person could do that. Achiten hadin if nedin ayemet, until Hashem in his unbelievable, truthful, and honest judgment, shiapiraon mizeachoted, decides that the collection, the retribution that has to be paid for this sin, that he did willingly, shemon'im mimenu hateshuvah. Heaven intervenes, and the great gift of willing repentance, which can erase sins, bring forgiveness, even turn, if it's out of love, sins into mitzvot, into positives, that power, that choice is denied that person. I hope we never get there. Very bad place to be. Ve'ein manichim lo reshut lashuv mirishol. Shamayim, heaven does not permit that person to return from his wickedness. Why? Kedei sheyamut ve'yobar b'cheto sheyaseh. So that he'll die with his sins on his head. Very powerful stuff. Now, Harambam is a book of halacha. This is the way it works. We have a question. I didn't read the whole Rambam, but that's basically what he says. Is it really true that these people who fit this category of sinner really have no chance, possibility, opportunity whatsoever to make teshuvah? The man in the front row is shaking his head no. What the rest do you think? Rambam says they take away the opportunity. Is this it? No Olam Haba, he's finished forever and ever for eternity because he made either the biggie or so many little ones that they add up to a biggie. There's no hope. We're not talking about the rest of us. You know, we make sins, we make mistakes, tabata, we make the Shiva, we don't make the Shiva. You're in the middle zone. But let's talk about these people. Is it really true that they have no opportunity whatsoever? I won't wait for your answer because Harambam himself answers. Aren't we lucky we have him to answer the question? Harambam says, "Uchinyan ze shualim atzadikim vanevi'im b'tfilatam et Hashem." There is a way out. And the tzaddikim know the way out, and they reveal it to us. I went to court recently, not for me. I was involved in a case from a good side. I wasn't one of the people in the case, and the judge needed clarification. I went, and after it was a judge from Brooklyn. She was black, she was very friendly, reached a very high level in life. She's a judge. And after I finished explaining everything, she said, "Can I thank you, Reverend? I mean, Rabbi." So that gives me the right now to say, are these people, are they out of the box? Is there no hope? Or can they repent? So the scriptures, I'm really a reverend, right? The scriptures say, in the name of David, HaMelech, Alav HaShalom, Horeni Hashem Darkecha, Hashem, show me your way. Says HaRambam, Al Yimna'uni Chata'ai Derech HaEmet. Don't allow my sins to hold me back from seeing the true way and going on the true path. Ruach nedivah tismicheni. Let my spirit do your will. And don't allow my sins to hold me back from teshuvah. Let me have at least the choice. I'm translating.
Ve'ed ad she'achzor, till I return. Ve'avin, I understand. Ve'eda, and I know. Derech ha'emet, the true way.
You see what he says? This is David HaMelech speaking. Take note. He does not say, prevent me from sinning. He says, I sin. Don't allow the sins to block my teshuvah. Give me an opportunity to bail out. Give me a parachute. You see what David HaMelech is doing? Maybe I read it in English so it doesn't sound like it. But what he's saying is, Hashem, I'm praying to you that in spite of my sins, I want the opportunity for teshuvah. I'm praying for the opportunity to make teshuvah in spite of the sins I made that should hold me back. Now, let's look at this. This is called Mima Nafshach. I got you coming or going. If he made the sins that puts him in the category of those who can't return, then what good is praying for the right to return? And if he didn't make these sins, he's just a regular Ige, like everybody else. So he has the right to return. What does he got to pray for? Can't you make teshuvah? No, can't you make teshuvah? Yeah, you're a regular guy. It's available. It's one of the mitzvot. Hitzvatu al hatatam. Go do it. So, if it's written in stone, he can't make teshuvah, what good is prayer? And if he didn't make the sin, I mean, if he can make the teshuvah, so what does he have to pray for? Just do it. You see, from here we learn the power of teshuvah through tefillah. What's the power of teshuvah through tefillah? Repentance through prayer. It's the same as any other gezar din. Let's say a person like Chizkiyahu HaMelech. We learned the story 100 times already. He didn't get married, he knew he was going to have bad children. The prophet Yeshaya comes, he tells him, listen, you're going to die. You're going to die in this world, you're not going to have the next world, you're finished. You're a big tzaddik and everything else, but you eliminated the key mitzvah, you're finished. What does he do? He gets up, he turns to the wall and he prays. Hashem says, okay, I accept your prayer, you got 15 years. Wasn't there a gezar din? Wasn't there a din in Shamayim? Wasn't there a verdict in heaven? Didn't that verdict say he shall certainly die in this world and the next? So much so that the prophet Yeshaya came and told him, this is what it says in the book. So he says, so what? I could pray. So now, if you're in the category, chas v'shalom, of those people who have no more opportunity to make teshuvah, that Shamayim is holding back your opportunity to make teshuvah, that's a gezar din, that's like a kiss of death, just like Chizkiyahu had. So if you pray, you can change that too. So that's the lesson. The power of tefillah can get rid of any gezerah. Any gezerah. It can change things. It could be like that pitchfork which turns the earth upside down. And there are many gezadins that we know about. There's many, many things we know about that are considered written in stone. Written in blood in Shamayim. But if you pray, you have an opportunity to change it. What if Now we start the class. It wasn't bad, about half an hour. I got quicker over the summer. What if I'm not worthy? You know, you're talking about merits to make the tefillah work, because you gotta get something in the bank. You're buying your way out. Empty words don't work, but tefillah has certain. What about a person with no merits? Let's see this pasuk. There's a pasuk in Tehillim. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Not the Ten Commandments. Pasuk in Tehillim. I am the Lord your God. Hama'alcha Meretz Mitzrayim, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Harchev Picha, open your mouth wide. Va'amal Ehu, and I'll fill it. Anybody hear that pasuk before? Famous pasuk. Rashi over there says, Harchev Picha, what does it mean, open your mouth wide? Ask me for anything. In the words of Rashi, Harchev Picha l'sh'om imena kol ta'avat libecha. Anything your heart desires. Fa'amal heum. Anything you ask, I will fulfill. What an ill day. You have Hashem who could do whatever he wants. He's the power to accomplish whatever he wants to accomplish. And he says, ask, and I'll fill all your wishes 100%. That's great, right? Just one question. What does that have to do with coming out of Mitzrayim? It's a nice pasuk. It's a great idea. I mean, I only have to ask Hashem whatever my heart desires, and he'll fill it. Why does he open up? I am the Lord your God who took you out of Egypt. What is it? What's the drama? Why is that the opening to the, what's the connection? I read the pasuk a lot of times, I never thought of that. So let's look to one of the great Rishonim, Haramban. Nachmanides. Before we were talking about halacha from Maimonides, now we'll talk about a commentary on the Torah, Nachmanides. And in several places having to do with the exodus from Egypt, the Shelichut, the messenger, Moshe being chosen by Hashem at the burning bush, etc., we're going to see an amazing principle having to do with tefillah. It was the days when the king of Egypt died, Vayamat Melech Mitzrayim, Vayanchu B'nei Yisrael in Avodah, the Jews groaned, moaned, short of breath from the work. Vayizaku, they cried out, it's a form of prayer. Vatal Shav'atam, El Elokim in Avodah. Their prayers reached Hashem. Vayishmar kim na'akatam, Hashem heard, he remembered, vayar, he saw, vayeda, he knew. Bang, 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 very repetitious. I hate when speakers do that, by the way. It's a massive, it's a huge, it's a giant. I tell you what to say already. What do you keep repeating the same words for? Instead of teachers that I couldn't take notes. She kept saying the same thing over. But over here, it's Hashem speaking in the Torah. Vayishma, vayizkor, vayar, vayeda. What does the Torah want to teach us? So says Haramban. It's his question, it's not my question. I'm not that smart. I'm smart enough to read the right books. He says,
He'erich hakatuv lahazkir ta'anot rabot b'gulatan. Vayishma Elokim, vayizkor Elokim, vayar Elokim, vayeda Elokim, ki yadati machovav, comes the principle, afalpi shenishlam haziman shenigzar alehem. Even though the time for their ge'ulah had arrived, whatever was decreed 400 years finished, lo hayu re'uyim li'gael. They weren't worthy, they weren't meritorious enough to be saved. The prophet Yechezkel, if you open it, you'll see language about the Jews in Egypt. You'd wonder how they got out. But says HaRambam, mipenei atza'aka, because they cried out to him, kibel tefilatam berachamav. He accepted their prayers in his mercy. So what am I making a big deal about? They weren't worthy of being saved. It was only their prayers that saved them. There's a power in tefillah. When a person cries from the depths of their heart to accomplish much more than what one deserves on one's behalf. Isn't that great? That's like going to Bergdorf with your Walmart wallet and being able to buy even though you don't have enough money. It's a dream. I got 20 bucks in my pocket. I can't even tip the doorman at Bergdorf. But I can go in and buy whatever I like. In other words, I can get more than what I have merits to earn. More than what I deserve if I pray. It's a pasuk. Haboteach b'Hashem chesed yisovevenu. Rabbi Elchanan Wasserman, Hashem yikam damo. He explained the pasuk to mean that Hashem will do for those who think He can do it. Isn't that great? If I believe He can do it, He'll do it for me. What happened to merits? What happened to debits, credits, money in the bank, zchut avot? No, no, no. If I believe He's the one, if I know He's the one with all my heart, and I turn to Him and ask Him, He'll give it to me. The Chafetz Chaim, can't have the first class without him. His Yortzeit was last Friday, did everybody know? He says in the name of Midrash Tanchuma, Afilu en Adam kedai le'anot filato v'asot imo chesed. Even if a person is not worthy to be answered in his prayers, and even if Hashem looks at the accounting and doesn't see enough merit to do kindness for him, kevan shemitpalel, since a person prays, umarbe b'tachanim, and says a lot of supplications. I like that word. It's almost as long as delicatessen. Hashem will do chesed imo. Now we can go back to our pasuk. The Jews in Egypt
did not deserve to be saved. They were in the 49th level of Tum'ah. They were down near the bottom of the barrel, spiritually. That's why we needed Matzah. We had to get out of town fast. Quick, pronto. No hope, another day, you're out of the box, you'll never be saved. That was their matzav. But by Yizaku, Batal Shavatam, by Yishmaelu Kim and Nakatam, by Yizkoru Kim and Birito, by Yalakim and Seva Yedalu Kim. The praying prompted a chain of events that got them out. Even though they didn't deserve it. Now I feel good. Because I know I don't deserve it. But I know I still can do it. Through tefillah. What's the one tonight to make the condition to make my tefillah work? I gotta believe it can work. You believe it can work? All the time. I will tell you, there were three separate incidents this past summer where the cries went out and the announcements went out to our community about someone that the doctor said, ah! They were speechless. And people started praying. And women got together, read Tehillim, and the school to camp children decided they could do separate tefillah for them. And when we opened our own HaKodesh, we said their names. And miracle after miracle after miracle. So one father last night, he told me the boy's walking around and he's in school. You know him. It's a miracle, right? There's another boy, some kind of crazy infection, they couldn't figure out what it was, but they knew one thing. Even if the treatments worked, it would be 2 years of therapy before he walked. The community prayed. 2 days. He got up out of bed, and 4 days later he was home. And the doctors went, In fact, there's 4 cases. I just thought of another 2. I'm not going to waste your time with them. When I saw the people involved, the parents, the friends, the wife, the husband of all these cases, they tell me one thing. Those tefillot, they sure work. Those prayers sure work. And you know something? When you believe that they work, they work. That's all Hashem wants. You don't have to be deserving. It's better. But even that guy in the beginning, who Hashem's going to lock the door, no teshuvah, you made the biggie, or you made too many. If he turns to Hashem and prays like David Amen did, Hashem, I know what I did. But I know one thing. You could do whatever you want. So why don't you break the rules, rip up the gezerah, and let me off? You know why? Because I know you could rip it up if you want. You could do whatever you want. You are Hashem. Do you know what it is to be able to say Baruch Atah? You know what Atah means? Speak the language? You. How do you have the nerve to get up in an Amidah and use the word Atah 20 or 30 times? Count it, it's in there, 20 or 30 times. Baruch Atah is 19, right there, I got you. Atah Shemei Tefillat Kol Peh, Atah Chonin Adam Dad, there's another 10 somewhere, I bet you. I didn't count today.
20 or 30 times you're going to stand up. Some people in their shorts, some people in their t-shirts, some people, I don't know how they come dressed to shul, but you know, they come. And they stand before Hashem and they say, Ata! Or the man in the movie said, I'm talking to you. You can. You're allowed. If Ata is said knowing, I'm talking to you because you're the one who can do it. And that bitachon will get it done. No matter what the gezaldin. Is this exciting? I think that's smart. I can't sleep when I think about this. A guy who did all the averot you could do to be in that little class of people. Everybody can make teshuvah, but that little class of people, monim in teshuvah. But if he prays and says, Hashem, I know you're the boss, you could do it for me. I trust you to rip it up for me. He'll rip it up. Why? Only because you trust him. You don't find that exciting? I find that mind-boggling. It's amazing. Hamal Chametz Mitzrayim, you were in Egypt, you didn't deserve to get out. Just open your mouth wide, I'll fill it with every desire you have. Now I'm going to flip it for you. We started late, we can go overtime. Way back in Bereshit, it's coming up again soon. Way back in Bereshit, we learned an amazing principle. I don't know if we did it this year or the year before, we did it here. In this class, in this Monday night, get together and shout, we did this. The Pasuk says, Chosek HaSadeh Terem Yeh Ba'aretz. And all the growing things, the vegetation on the earth, before it came forth from the earth, V'chol Etzev HaSadeh Terem Yitzmach, and all the grasses before they would grow, Ki Lo Emtir Hashem Elokim Al Ha'aretz, because Hashem didn't bring rain. So picture this. Hashem says, let there be the grass. Okay, so there is. Let there be this. Let there be that. It's all there. Did you ever press pause on your video? So now, Shabbat comes. The whole world is frozen. He takes Adam, he puts him in the picture. Adam looks around. It's a beautiful world. The grass ain't growing. The trees are stagnant. The fruit's not coming. It's exactly the way he made it. Isn't this Asher Bara Elohim Ka'asot? Isn't it supposed to be like in motion? So what does he do? Why lo himtir? Ki lo himtir Hashem ki ma'a. Hashem didn't bring rain. Ve'en adam la'avod et ha'adamah. There's no man to work the earth. That's what the Pasuk says. So Rashi tells us, Adayin lo tzamach. Nothing grew. And it says, Va'atotzei ha'aretz, on the third day. But it didn't come out. Except to the very tip of the earth. Petach HaKarka, he calls it. And everything stood frozen till Friday, the sixth day. Hashem creates a man. And it says, En Adam La'avod. You know why nothing moved? Because there was no man to work the earth. So everything was stagnant, frozen. Adam realizes rain would be good in this situation. So what did he do? Rashi.
Hitpalel alehem. He says, Hashem, you left out an element I need. I'm here, my job is to be a farmer. I'm supposed to make things grow. I need rain, and that's your job. It's your domain to bring rain. So Hashem, please, send rain. What happened, Simon? It rained, and things started to grow. What was the on switch, the power switch of the entire creation? Tefillah. And that's a great, great point. I like it. Yeah, we could talk about it. What about me? Number one. That's Adam. That's 5,765 years ago, minus a couple of days. Actually, Yom Shishi of the world is coming up 2 days. So it's 5,765 years minus 2 days ago. As one great comedian once said, in the year a half. In the year a week. That scene took place. What does that have to do with me? Before I give you the answer, I'll do another Ramban. Everybody remember the scene? Moshe's walking. He goes after this lamb. He sees a burning bush. He turns to the burning bush. Hashem says, gotcha! You're my man. Go back to Mitzrayim. Get the people out. Not me. And for 7 days, they argue back and forth. Go, no, yes, no. They won't believe me. They will believe you. Give me a sign. Don't give me a sign. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Till Moshe comes up with the clincher. Hashem, your ambassador to take the people out. Me, kevad peh v'kevad lashon anochi. I stutter. I can't speak properly. I took a coal and put it on my tongue and my lip and I burnt myself when I was an infant. How could I be your representative, King of Kings? How can I go before even a flesh and blood king? They'll chop my head off for showing up that way. Kevad peh uchvad lashon anochi. So Hashem answers him. Mi sam peh la adam? Who gives people the power of speech? Says Aramban, what did he tell him? I have the power to heal you. But since, listen to these words, lo tetze refuatecha, you don't want to be healed, velo hitpalalta lefanai, you didn't pray before me on this matter, then go and I'll let Aharon do the talking. What is he telling him? Pay attention. I know it's late. But turn on your brain to this. What's going on here? Says that Ramban. It's true. Moshe's statement, Kevad Peh V'chalo, is a very true statement. And Hashem is, he calls it, Rotze v'yachol. He wants to heal him and he's able to heal him. Why did Hashem say, Aaron? Make him better. Wipe out his excuse. He tells you, I can't speak. Make him speak. Who makes everybody speak? Hashem. Since he didn't pray, Kevan shelo hitpalel, says Aramban, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu merape oto. Hashem will not heal him.
And that's a principle. Note takers, get out your pens. This is a principle. It's possible in the lifetime of a person, and most of you here tonight look like people, so this counts for you. Very direct statement. I'm not going to point out the ones who don't. In the lifetime of a person, it's possible that a person may need a lot of siyata dishmaya, a lot of heavenly assistance to accomplish what they'd like. And Hashem may be ready, willing, and able to give it. That baby, that parnassah, that husband, that wife, that family, that problem to go away, that health, that wealth, that happiness. It may need, you may need siyata rishmaya to come. You always do. But Hashem may be rotze v'yachol. He may be wanting to do it and able to do it. But the person may remain in their sorry state for one silly reason. They didn't pray. Tefillah is a condition, a heavenly condition on the barter system. You want, it has your name on it, it's yours, I want to give it to you, you don't pray, it doesn't move. It stays in Shemayim. Akedat Yitzchak, famous book. Bekat Shema Kolenu, the all-encompassing blessing, the 13th of the 13 middle blessings, the last one, Hashem, hear our voice. Bo Yasim Komegamotav La Hashem Nitpalelo Al Kol Tzorchav. In that particular blessing, a person should put all their energy, all their powers, to pray to Hashem on all that a person might need. Afilu davar katan. For men, that's a pair of shoes. For women, a pair of shoes is a very big thing. But anything small. I need a new pen. I want to write something down. I need a pen. Pray to Hashem. O gadol. I need a husband, I need a wife. That's a big one. Lo yibatze davar mashelo yitpalel bo laHashem. You should not hold back from anything when you pray to Hashem. Pray from everything. Im sarich lasot shiduch. For himself, o banav o bnotav, yitpalel laHashem. Lischora, business, yitpalel laHashem. Shiatzlichu v'yalichu b'derech yashar. Kilalo shel davar. Another principle. You got your pens out? Take notes. Good. Take it out. Kilalo shel davar. En davar ma. There ain't nothing. That's my best translation. Don't tell the art school people. Sheritzono la'asot bo bayom. That you want to do in the day. That you don't pray to Hashem to help you reach success. The end, Sarich Lomar, and of course, that's just everything, the everyday stuff. But im yesh lo chas v'shalom, if a person chas v'shalom has eze tzara betoch beto, if there's something wrong, a financial problem, a health problem, something wrong. Shitzarich lit palir. And then he flips it. Vechenim yesh ezo simcha. If there's something happy. Yit palir shelo yecheta besimcha. Lo yekre avon sheyesechaz von simcha sheretu ga. I hope that this happiness is handled properly so I don't sin and blow it for the future. It goes on and on and on here. But what you need, did I bring the Gemara? I don't know if I brought it. I could look it up. There's a Gemara. It's a Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah. It's not a Rosh Hashanah class. I must repeat, it's not a Rosh Hashanah class. But in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, the tractate of Talmud having to do with Rosh Hashanah, Shenayim Sheyashuv Mitatan. They were two in bed sick. Al Eretz Devash and Palu. They both prayed. Echad Yarad. One became healthy and got up from the bed. And the other one. He died. Said. One got up healthy, one died. Says the Gemara, Hata'am, Shezeh Chai Vezeh, they both prayed. So why did one die and one live? Shezeh Itpaleh Tefilah Shelema, the one who got healthy prayed a Shilema, perfect, a whole prayer, W-H-O-L-E, not H-O-L-E. Whole prayer, Shilema. V'zeh paleh tefilah she'ene shilema. This one prayed an imperfect prayer. What does Rashi say Shilema means? Nitkaven, he had kavana, the proper intent. Let me ask you something. It's not my question. It's Rabbi Eliyahu Lopyan Zecher Zik Levracha, Ler Eliyahu. He asks a question. The man's in bed with a terminal illness. He prayed. Did anybody have a real problem when you prayed? Anybody ever experienced that? I can honestly say, personally, there have been several situations where the person that was ill was so important to my life or close to me that I really prayed my heart out. And some or most of us probably experienced something that we really prayed for. So Rav Eliyahu Lopyan says, here's the man in bed himself. He's the one who's ill and he was prompted to pray. And Rashi comes and tells us, or the Gemara tells us, and Rashi explains, he prayed without kavana. What? Anybody? Okay, tell me he didn't pray, he died. He prayed, but his prayer was not to be Rashilema. Probably prayed as hard as anybody ever prayed ever to get himself out of the mess. Says Rav Elia, the meaning of Lo Yipaleh B'Kavana, he didn't believe it would work. All that I told you tonight, all the powers of Tefillah, the Sigula, that unexplainable anti-nature power of tefillah to change rachamim, din to rachamim, strict justice and gezerot to mercy, to do things against nature for the human being. That sigula in tefillah, that power of tefillah, only works for those who believe it will work. That's the main point tonight. When that lady called me Reverend, I never thought I was going to say, you got to believe. You must believe that will work. You have 10 very crucial days coming. You're going to stand up and say, Hashem, you're the king. You're going to say, Hashem, you remembered everybody else, remember me. You're going to blow a shofar like trumpets at a coronation. Then you're going to enter 10 days of teshuvah, where the prayers are really heartfelt. Everybody prays better in those days. Everybody. There's something about it. It's the pressure of the situation, the belief that this is it, it's crunch time. It's the ninth inning, there's two out, you got a bat in your hand, you got to get a hit. Everybody feels that way. The tunes wake up your heart differently. The people around you, you haven't seen them in shul for a year. There was once a gabbai, the sexton of a shul. He got up on the end of Kippur. He said, the fast will end at 7:03. You'll be able to eat. We wish everybody a successful year, a happy year. Next year, Rosh Hashanah, we begin Mincha at 6:30. On Monday night, October 2nd. I think next year is October 4th. So a guy got up and says, what are you announcing next year for? He says, I haven't seen you since last year. I want you to miss the announcement. But we're going into that time period. So crucial for everybody. And with all the praying you do, you got to know one thing. The one who's going to be answered is the one who believes it works. If you came out, you looked for parking, and you were tired, and you were wondering, should I go tonight? Should I stay home tonight? Baruch Hashem, it wasn't raining, it wasn't cold. So you had the oomph to come out on a very busy night, two nights before Rosh Hashanah. It's a very busy night for most people. If you came here just to hear that, it's worth it. Tefillah works for those who believe it works. Tefillah has power to change anything. Sarah was not capable physically of having a baby. She had one. Rivka had the same problems. She had one. She had two. The Jews were in Egypt, undeserving of leaving. But they cried to Hashem, get us out. They believed he could do it. Vayamen ha'am, they believed. They got out. Do you know? Rabbeinu Bachi says, or you might say Rabbeinu Bachai, all kinds over here. Gotta make sure everybody understands me. If you open up his account of the splitting of the sea, we picture Moshe is there, the wind's blowing. He picks up the staff. He points over the water. Whoosh, whoosh, the water splits. The marble floors, the fountains, the fruit, and the Jews go through the 12 rows. Right? Rabbeinu Bachi says no. Every step they walked, the water was right in front of them. And the next step, it moved back a step. And the next step, it moved back a step. And the next step, moved back another step. Till they got through the ocean. They kept praying the whole way. And so long as they believed their prayers would work, another foot of ocean split. The whole night. They were praying for the miracle to continue, and it did. We have an opportunity. I tell you this only so that I'll feel it myself. We have an opportunity to pray to Hashem anytime, any place, anywhere that's clean. smells from a pamper, you can't. If the situation is dirty with garbage, you can't. But so long as the place is clean, you can pray to Hashem. But now we're in a season where the king has let us know he's in a good mood, so to speak. And he's waiting to hear from us. And everybody's going to respond with prayers. Two were in the bed. Two prayed. One got up and walked, and one died, lo aleinu. What was the difference? Nitkaven. One prayed a tefillah shelema. Hashem, I'm not wasting my time. I'm praying to you because you can do it. I am praying to you because you are the one that I'm counting on to do it. Vayizaku b'nei Yisrael Hashem. Vayishma Elokim. Vayeda Elokim. It starts a chain reaction that brings us success. So I wish you all incorporate this lesson. Use it. I give you permission to use this secret, to trust in Hashem, to do whatever you need, and He will do it. Amen. Skushim Rabbah.